Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
Back and better than ever, Greeny, presented by Progressive Insurance, live as always from the Seaport, brought to you by Chase. Ready to roll on one of the best sports days of the year. A championship behind us, a championship ahead of us, the final week of the NBA, the Masters, the draft. Let's go!
Here we go!
Only one place to start.
Perfection with a touch of sweet redemption. Undefeated South Carolina has won its third national championship.
We've come a long way. There's a long journey, and I'm just so proud of our team. It's unbelievable.
My buddy Ryan Rucco with the call on ABC yesterday. One of the best players we ever saw has her career come to an end on a day where the other team was just too good. South Carolina finishes up a perfect season with a championship. Caitlin Clark finishes up a season that feels as though it changed everything. Legler sticks around after we wrap up. Get up this morning. Hembo is back from his few days off. We'll talk about that coming up in a minute. Legler, the way I've started it this morning on Get Up, I said that this was a season and a day in its own way yesterday that felt like two things at the same time. It felt like the culmination of something, and it felt like the beginning of something. Certainly the season felt that way. You and I are not that far apart in age, and you've been a basketball person all of your life. I mean, it's been your life all of your life, and I've been a sports person all of my life in my own different way. I've seen very few things quite like what women's college basketball had this year. I've seen very few moments in time where something just exploded in popularity, interest, and excitement the way this has over the last 2 years, in particular this year. I don't know exactly what it means for the future of the women's college game or the WNBA. I suppose time will tell, but it has been incredible to watch.
Yeah, and I think the future holds for the WNBA in terms of Caitlin Clark's impact, and then what women's college basketball will continue to be after this, who knows? Like, we got to wait and see how that all plays out. So I think it's just best to take into context and what we've all just witnessed. I completely agree with you. It's unlike most things that I have seen in my lifetime. The way that Caitlin Clark, in particular, was able to draw in the interest of people who otherwise would not have been paying attention to this. It's incredible. I've seen a number of people do it. I actually saw Steph Curry do this at one point in his career, where you'd be out, on a night off, and I'm just watching a game in a place where there's a bunch of people watching, and to look around and know that there were people that otherwise would not have been paying any attention to an NBA basketball game stop to have to watch this person play basketball. That's kind of exactly what Caitlin Clark just did to so many people, to grow the interest in all of this. She lived up to it every step of the way, and she's, unfortunately for them, they ran into a team that there just was not going to be enough answers for unless they literally pitched a perfect game against them, and it was just too much to ask.
Watching her game, just a quick moment on the game, everyone is going to talk about her shooting, and I get it. I mean, the range and everything else, that's obviously the most – it's the easiest thing to notice, and it's the easiest thing to, read off a piece of paper. Her passing in transition is, I think, as good as anyone I've ever seen. And you and I were talking about it before we came on the show. If she was playing with people of her own level who were able to actually handle some of the passes she was making and finish, they had a chance to win that game in the fourth quarter. She made plays that unfortunately were just above the ability of the people she was playing with to handle. Her passing is what blew me away watching her play.
Completely agree with you. And by the way, her passing is what ultimately is going to guarantee her success at the WNBA level, because she is that rare player that's a raw scorer, right, with prodigious numbers that can actually now translate to a different style of game because of her IQ vision, where she can put the basketball. She's one of the most precise passers I've ever seen. You talk about the passes she makes in transition. To get a little bit more technical on that, and she's one of the few people I've ever watched, and I recorded the game, where I have gone back to watch specific passes made by a player. Very rarely do I do that, because I'm trying to figure out how she thought that was the right pass to throw, to lead a player to that extent when there's traffic there as well, and actually put that ball on the money in the only spot that player can catch the ball to have anything to do with it. Now, unfortunately for her, in some cases, you were leading, an inferior player into a situation with all kinds of size and traffic that they weren't going to be able to finish the play. But it's the right pass at the right time to be made that I think she's the only player in the country that could make it. And that is why, actually, I think people wonder, like, what's it going to be like the next level? She's going to get attacked defensively. Make no mistake about it. People are going to go at her and challenge her on the perimeter to see what she can do defensively. Shooting, look, she blows us away. There's going to be a different level of game plan and athlete that she's going to face at the next level to limit some of those moments. The passing, though, is transcendent. And the number of players she will be playing with now that can do things with what she's about to deliver to them, that's why, like I said, her success is guaranteed, because she can actually now affect the game in a significant way as a playmaker, even on nights if she doesn't get a ton of shots or make a ton of shots.
Hembo is back. Hembo, your thoughts?
She's the best player I've ever seen. You know, the best versus greatest debate is one that we have here fairly often, and I can definitively say I've never seen a better player than her. She's not the most accomplished player in the history of her sport, because that, of course, comes with titles and other accolades, and she fell short there, or at least her teams fell short there. But Greeny, think about it this way. Like, South Carolina is Caitlin Clark in the Final Four last year away from three-peating. They're 80-1 since the start of the tournament in 2022. The only loss coming to Caitlin Clark last year in Iowa, in a game in which she scored 41 points and accounted for like 15 or 20 more with her passing. Like, that is remarkable when you consider what the South Carolina team has become. This is a dynasty, a behemoth in college basketball. Dawn Staley's 109-3 in the last 3 years. They've lost three games in 3 years. So the fact that Caitlin Clark scored 71 points in their two matchups over the last two seasons against that defense really tells you all you need to know.
Yeah, they had the best defense in the country. Iowa, the best offense. And in the end, it was South Carolina cutting down the nets. That was clearly the performance of the week, performance of the year, performance for the ages, brought to you by Skechers Footwear. Stylish comfort for men, women, and kids. Legs, quickly, before I get to the NBA, while I have you here, how about the men's game tonight?
Yeah.
UConn and Purdue, can't ask for better than that. If anyone's going to give UConn any trouble, you would figure it's going to be Zach Edey. Alabama played him real tough on Saturday night, candidly tougher than I thought anybody was going to. How do you see it tonight?
Yeah, I think this is the matchup that we needed to see. I think this is the one matchup in terms of the front line that could present some sort of challenge to UConn. The problem for Zach Edey, I think, in this particular game, and he might still have really good numbers. And it's one thing, we can talk about the big man matchup, right? And that's going to take place. But the problem is there are so many strong, physical, athletic bodies that UConn is going to throw into the paint against Zach Edey. It's going to put a lot of pressure, I think, on their perimeter players to make threes. If they can make their share, then this has a chance to go into the last 5 minutes of the game, I think, still up in the air. But UConn, I think, is the best team, and I think what they are going to throw at Purdue defensively, with, and we talk about depth of South Carolina, it's the same thing with UConn. The depth of guys that can go and battle physically Purdue's front line, I think that's going to be the difference in the game.
I've got an incredible number for you. I think you're right. I think Purdue has to make threes in order to have a chance to win tonight. So in the NCAA tournament, UConn's opponents are shooting at the rim 38%. Donovan Clingan is a singular talent as a rim protector. I think they're going to be more than happy to let Zach Edey attempt tough twos. Purdue's shot in this game is to take 30 or 35 threes and make close to half of them. I think that's their only path to a
victory. They couldn't throw it in the ocean from three on Saturday night. Did you watch that game?
Is it harder to shoot in a football like stadium like that? That's such a weird thing in terms of the vision, I would think.
Yes, played in domes a number of times in college. Played in, actually, when I won the three-point shootout, it was in the Alamo Dome in San Antonio, which, again, I was a little bit concerned going into that weekend, because I'm like, man, in this environment, because the background is so different, the depth perception completely different. And for college players that aren't playing in that all year, to be thrust into that environment, you can have some of these rough shooting nights where you're watching at home going, man, is this the best we have to offer? It's really not the players. It is the environment. It's a lot different. Sometimes we get nights where guys kind of rise above that, but I definitely think it was a factor the other night.
Let's have a little fun. How many years were you in the three-point contest?
Two. I won it, and then I went back the next year to defend my title.
And what happened?
I lost in the finals to Steve Kerr. But there's a caveat to it. I didn't play a single regular season game the second year. I tore my ACL at the end of the previous season, the year I won it.
I remember.
Game 80 or 81. Yeah. I teared three ligaments in my knee. I did not get cleared to play until the weekend of All-Star Weekend. And they were actually debating whether they were going to let me go defend my title. I'm talking about Washington. If they were going to let me, because I hadn't played any game yet. But then I said, you know, it's just shooting jumpers, guys. I'm going to be okay. I'm not guarded. So they let me go defend my title with this big heavy brace on my knee. I still made it to the finals. I was proud of myself, but I lost to Steve Kerr ultimately.
And who else, like the year that you won, who were the other guys in it?
Dennis Scott was in it. I think
Hubert, what year
Hubert
was
Davis
this?
Was in it. Clifford Robinson was in it, 1996.
96.
Steve Kerr.
Glenn Rice, George McLeod.
Glenn Rice was a defending
Dana
champion,
Barrett.
Correct.
Yeah.
George McLeod.
Kind of, what level of trash talk goes on in the three-point contest?
There was some – I remember specifically some trash talk going on in the locker room, and I don't remember who said it, but somebody said to me, because I was just over there kind of getting mentally in the right place, like, man, off quiet over there, Legler. Don't you go getting tight on us. And I remember just thinking to myself, all the talk in the world will not put one of those balls in the basket for you. I can tell you right now. And so I went out there, and they have brand new – these balls were brand new. Slicker than slick. Hard as a rock. And I'm going, why are they giving us basketballs like this if they want us to put on a show?
Right.
So I was a little bit nervous about that. And I, but I started shooting, and I'm telling you, I felt very confident by the time I had finished warming up, and I got to go first, which was big. I didn't have to sit there for commercial breaks and all these guys shoot, and 25 right. minutes later, I'm finally shooting. I was the first shooter after warm-ups. I think that definitely helped me get into a rhythm. But I was very confident after warm-ups that I was going to have a good night.
Because I've always loved the legendary Larry Bird story.
Who's like, shooting for second?
Yeah, which one are you guys going to finish second?
You know what? I just thought of something.
What?
So Greeny and I are writing another book. It's coming out in September. One of the chapters is the top 10 shooters in NBA history. I'm not sure we put Legs on the list.
Yes, we did.
Are you sure?
He's on the list.
You're sure?
Yeah.
I'm going to double check my notes there.
Go check the notes.
Well, the numbers are going to be dwarfed but from other guys for a variety of reasons. One.
Well, for volume, but not for
volume
efficiency.
And just, you know, and I had a number of injuries. I took longer to get to the league than a lot of guys did. So I'm not going to have the volume, but the percentages and just making shots, I'll take my chances.
Go look that up.
I'll look it up. I'll look it up right
that
now.
That'll be a bad miss by you.
By me?
Yes.
Top 10 shooters in NBA history.
The blame.
So do you want me to unveil this now on the air?
Well, who's 10?
J.J. Redick is 10.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, J.J.
Is look, he a better shooter than
he
you?
He played. If J.J. and I go out and we're going to just have a shooting competition against each other, I'm going to bet on myself. I'm going to bet on myself against anybody.
Anybody in history?
Anybody.
Steph Curry?
Anybody. I'll bet myself. I'm going to bet on myself.
Do you have that range?
I mean, it's probably not as good as it was. I don't shoot as
but
often.
But I mean, did you at your apex? Oh, yeah. Did you have Steph Curry's range?
Yeah,
from
I think
three?
I nobody has Steph Curry.
That's range. What I mean. Like he's
nobody,
shooting threes.
Yeah, but we're not shooting the ball.
But
from
that's not what that
feet.
Is.
We're
right.
shooting the ball from the 3-point line.
That's
now
right.
they've added that. It's weird because the point totals are totally different than when I did it. You can get 40 points in a round now because they've added the five ball, you know, money ball on the mm-hmm. same rack. Pick your spot. Mine would have been right wing, by the way, if I could have done that. They also have those other two spots, right, where you step out to whatever that is, 30-plus feet, and you get bonus points for that. So you can actually accumulate more points in a round now than you could when I did it, but I was very proud. When I won that competition, at that point, it was the same format every year up to that point. That was the highest three-round total in the history of the event.
Atta boy. Look at Legler.
He's not in the top 10.
Getting it done. He's going
to
be
We're
going
to have to modify our
yeah,
list.
Yeah, we're updating that.
He's just saying that because I just got four straight trivia questions.
No.
Yeah, since
quickly.
You got one wrong in which you were the answer, by the
yeah,
way.
Yeah, it's true. I would have five in a row if I had my own name right.
It's the last time you got one wrong. Parenthetically, Hembo is back after being on child duty for last week because his wife Lizzie is in Phoenix. And, you know, I love Lizzie. I've known her longer than I've known Hembo. She used to work on Mike and Mike. She works at ESPN. And I'm a little disappointed in her because she left Hembo alone with the kids.
Uh-huh.
And it occurred to me, you've got kids. Yeah. And they're like mine. Yours are grown.
Well, I also have a 2-year-old.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Yes.
Okay, beautiful.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. If you were going away for a weekend.
Yeah, if I was going away for a weekend. Okay.
Would you leave your 2-year-old with Hembo?
No.
Not a chance.
Absolutely
right? Like you
not.
Could, if I asked you to make a list of all the people in the world you would leave your kids with, wouldn't Hembo be at the bottom?
Well, you basically, this last segment we just did explains why. If his judgment is that bad to leave me off that list, why would I entrust my child to him?
That's pretty much right. But I mean, I have no idea. Like the fact that everyone survived this experience, I think, is bordering on miraculous.
Oh, you didn't ask me if everyone survived.
Well,
you assumed everyone survived.
I trust had that not been the case,
turn.
We'd know about it.
And I got 2 20-month-old girls at home.
Okay.
And we did all.
That's a lot.
Spoiler alert,
that's
we did all survive the weekend.
That's a lot.
And a third one.
By the way, 2 20-month-olds is not the same as 1 40-month-old. I can tell you that. It's a lot harder.
That's well played. All right, Legler is with us. A pleasure as always. We'll come back in just a moment. This is Greeny, and this is ESPN Radio.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had, happened in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Greeny today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Greeny, GREENY.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Greeny, the podcast.
A solar eclipse coming today. Greeny presented by Progressive Insurance. I'm really not sure what I'm supposed to do with this information. Like, everyone seems to be very excited about this solar eclipse. And I'm just not 100% sure I understand why. Like, I'm not fascinated by this at all. And I'm just worried that I will do something you're not supposed to do. Like, you're not supposed to look at it, but people are telling me if it's cloudy, you may not even notice it happens. And is it going to just get pitch black dark out of nowhere for like 2 minutes and then start again? Like, what exactly is it that's happening
here? Well, it depends where you are in the country, of course.
Well, you know where I am.
I know where you are, at least right now. I assume you're not going to be, you know, driving west to see this in a more picturesque spot.
No, I'm not driving any further west than Bayonne, New Jersey.
Well, a lot of people are.
I understand that, but you know I'm not one of them.
There are people paying thousands of dollars to stay at a hotel in Cleveland where it's going to be kind of like the most ideal place to see the eclipse based on where the sun is passing.
And what is it they're fascinated by? Let's you know what? Let's just have a moment on this. Why not? Bubba and Cam, get in on this. If I said to you, I will for free transport you to the place. You can travel. You can spend a day traveling to a place where you could get the best possible view of the solar eclipse. Would that interest you? Would you be interested in that being your day? I'm going to take a day of my life and build it around the opportunity to spend, what is it, 2 minutes watching the sun blocked out by the moon. That's what this is, right? That's basically what this is.
Yes, an eclipse.
The sun and moon are crossing paths. And the moon is going to block out our view of the sun. Is that what's happening?
Yes, and it won't happen again for 20 years.
Okay.
It's a big deal.
I think longer than that.
You know what? The Jets haven't won a Super Bowl in 50 years. I mean, 20 years isn't that long.
Bubba, I'm citing NASA research. I don't know what you're looking at, but 20 years is what I see.
What did Bubba say?
Different research, I suppose.
What research? What? How many years?
Bubba
do you
does
think?
His own research.
I don't know. I thought it was, I was talking to Aaron about it, and I don't know.
Aaron. Aaron was right. Feeding you this information.
Yeah. I guess it was 20. I just thought, I thought it was a lot rarer than that. I don't know. Fine. 20, sure.
It doesn't happen like what? That's my point. If this happened once a millennium, then I could see being a lot more excited by it.
Let me read you what NASA is telling us. This is not from Aaron's mouth. This is from NASA. Okay. This is the first solar eclipse to pass through North America in 7 years, and the next one will not be seen in the United States until August of 2044, according to NASA.
That's not. Everyone's been saying it's the first time in like 70 years.
Quoting everyone as though everyone is saying that.
Aaron and everyone else.
I haven't heard anyone say anything. Like, I couldn't be less interested in this. Am I wrong? Am I missing something?
So, I agree with you. I'm on the same page.
I don't really care about it, honestly.
There are a lot of people that care.
I know, but why?
Because it's cool for it to be dark during the day for 3 minutes.
Is it?
Yeah.
I think it would be much cooler for it to be light during the night for 3 minutes. Like, is that an option?
Don't be ridiculous. I have cousins that drove from Virginia to Ohio yesterday to experience this in person.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, you're not making the point you think you're making. Your cousins are not a good example. Just knowing you as I know you. Anyone who shares any blood with you, I think, is not making the kind of... It's not going to exercise the kind of level of decision-making that I'm fascinated
by. Not proving my point that this is a big deal. This is proving your point.
It's almost disproving it.
Okay.
You are
Fair
a man
enough.
Who spends his vacations traveling around the country watching minor league baseball with another man and his son.
I do.
Well, I mean, that's just the worst possible sounding decision. So, although I'll tell you what, I'm not 100% sure I wouldn't enjoy that more than I would enjoy watching the solar eclipse.
This is good, clean, cheap fun.
At least it's only... What's fun about it?
That it's going to be dark during the day.
Also, it's not cheap. People are... Like you said, spending thousands of dollars to travel.
Yeah, to travel there.
I think it's cool as a concept, but I don't really get the people that are like traveling across state lines to go see the sun blackout for a couple minutes. Like I'm going to go outside when I think it's going to happen, but I'm not going anywhere.
I'm pretty sure one of my friends, because we just had a surprise party for one of my other friends.
How old is he?
40.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yes.
That's a milestone.
Who held this surprise party? Who was in charge of the party?
His current girlfriend set it up.
And not his ex-girlfriend?
I like that he said current.
What do you mean his current girlfriend?
As if they're not going to be.
That's like calling someone their saying his first wife set that up and then still
girlfriend.
Being married. What do you mean by current girlfriend?
I mean, I guess I didn't have to include the current part, but his.
Bubba's hoping she's not?
His girlfriend set it up.
Is this Aaron, by the way?
No, this is Carl.
A different hack researcher.
So I invited I invited a bunch of our friends to go, and
to the party?
Yeah.
Or to the eclipse?
No, to the party.
And you invited people to go to someone else's surprise party.
The girlfriend, they live in Philadelphia now, or that area. The point is, I basically had to plan most of it, which is annoying. So I had to...
When was this party?
It was Saturday night.
Okay,
also a tough timing. During the Final Four.
Nice.
It was fine. The point of the story is one of my other friends, Dan, I invited him to come down. He lives up in Boston. And he told me, I'm pretty sure if I remember, because this was months ago, he said he was going to Tennessee like with his family, and they rented like an Airbnb to watch the eclipse.
Oh, this is a big deal.
And he was the first. He was the first person. I didn't even know what he was talking about at the time. I was like, what?
If I were to make a list of things I'd be more interested in seeing, like natural phenomena, than the solar eclipse, it would never end. Like, that list would just go on.
What would you love to see? Like, what part of nature would you love to see?
How often does Halley's Comet happen? Like, I feel like that's less rare.
I want to see Aurora Borealis.
Less frequent. I think Aurora Borealis is not a happening. I think that's just like a star formation.
Once every 75 years for Halley's Comet.
Right. So that's way rarer than an eclipse. Halley's Comet is when, like, you just see the stars shooting across the sky, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to lie to him. Not that excited about that.
No, he's going to be in Vermont, but it was eclipse related.
What?
He's going to be in Vermont, not
How'd
Tennessee.
You confuse
why did
Tennessee
you feel a need
Vermont?
To clear that up? But I mean, my point is, what difference did it make to this? Why did you feel like we needed the accuracy of that story?
Well, because I don't know where if the eclipse is not going to be in Tennessee, I don't want people thinking this guy's a real idiot. So,
well,
Vermont's probably.
I'm not going to lie to you. I'm already thinking it.
I mean, it's crazy that
I
you're
often
doing
confuse
this.
Vermont and Tennessee.
I have
in
major
fairness.
Questions about Carl.
Yeah, well, it wasn't him. It was a surprise. He had nothing to do with it.
The party you're talking about.
Yeah.
Okay.
His current girlfriend
said it was. His party it was. Yeah. By the way, is he divorced?
He is divorced, actually. Yeah.
That's why, just the way you said current girlfriend.
That's kind of why I got to that part.
You tipped it off, me. Yeah.
Yeah, he wanted to make sure we knew which women threw this.
That's like describing me as the current host of this show.
Right. Yeah, that's why I kind of got to that point, but I didn't say it. But
all right. I didn't mention AutoZone, but let me give you 30
Please
seconds
do.
On that. If you're dealing with a dead battery, head to AutoZone, America's number one battery destination. They offer free battery services like free battery testing and free battery charging. Their free battery testing can help you know if you need a new battery or not, or if you're in need of a fresh charge. And if you do happen to need a replacement battery, they can help with that too. They're the only place you can find proven tough Duralast batteries. So next time you're having battery trouble, head to AutoZone, your battery solution and America's number one battery destination.
The Scoop.
Well, I don't know everything, but I know this. There's never been a time in history when any coach would have left Kentucky to go to Arkansas. That's one of the most startling stories. John Calipari voluntarily giving up over $30 million to leave Kentucky to go become the coach at Arkansas. Let's make it clear. There was a $33 million buyout, if I'm not mistaken. If Calipari had just tried to leave, the school, someone, he or the new school that he left for, would have to have given Kentucky $33 million. If he wanted out of there so badly, he could have waited out getting fired and gotten $33 million. Instead, he managed to figure out a way to get to Arkansas without anyone having to pay Kentucky $33 million. I have no idea how that wound up happening. And again, Arkansas is a fine basketball program with a fine history. Their coach has been Eric Musselman the last few years. They've actually had more tournament success than Kentucky has the last few years. I'm old enough to remember Nolan Richardson. I'm old enough to remember Sidney Moncrief on those really good Arkansas teams in the 70s. But this ain't Kentucky. Kentucky and BBN, that's the Arkansas, excuse me, the Alabama of college basketball. Like the bluest of the blue bloods. If you're picking the bluest bloods in college basketball, it's either Kentucky or North Carolina, followed by Kansas and Duke. Is that right?
That's right.
Now, Indiana was once upon a time in that category. They've just fallen off of that. No, I don't think anyone around currently still thinks of them that way. But Kentucky, Kansas, North Carolina, and Duke, that's the royalty. That's royalty in college basketball. Choosing to leave there to go to Arkansas, again, I'm not in any way denigrating that job, and maybe I'm more trying to make the point that we now live in a world, this is how much upheaval there has been in the sport. We now live in a world where someone has left Kentucky voluntarily to go coach Arkansas. Pretty remarkable.
Imagine if Nick Saban did the same thing.
Right. That would be like Nick Saban, instead of retiring, deciding to leave Alabama and go coach Kentucky. Kentucky is a good football program. They are an above average football program. I'm doing the draft. They're sending a bunch of players to the pros. They make a bowl game every year, but it ain't Alabama. That would never happen. You could never envision it happening. That's what just happened.
Yeah, but it's the right thing to happen. It's the right thing for the program. It's the
Which
right
program?
Well, it's the right thing for both programs, but it's especially the right thing for Kentucky. It will wind up being, I think, a net positive for Coach Calipari because he's going to go somewhere where he's not hated by most of the fan base that expects you to go to the Final Four every year. And it will give Kentucky the opportunity to turn over a new leaf. I mean, he's been there for nearly 15 years. He's the second longest tenured coach in the history of the program. And there are plenty of really qualified, younger coaching candidates who have learned to coach college basketball the more modern way than John Calipari has. John Calipari has won one tournament game in the last 4 years. Over that span, his team's 11 and 18 against ranked opponents. Kentucky isn't Kentucky anymore. They're just not. I mean, if you're using the standard of placing players into the NBA, he's still really good at that job. But at some point, you have to have some kind of postseason success to satisfy that fan base. And that success no longer came.
Yeah, I get it. Now, Jay Will, you saw it on Get Up this morning, went in on the other side of that. You'd be careful what you wish for, if I could sort of sum up what he said. You run John Calipari out of off your campus, you be careful what you wish for. You disagree with that?
Yes, I do, because you're running a post-prime John Calipari off campus. College basketball has changed a lot. John Calipari has hardly changed at all. And when you consider the potential applicant pool of replacements, this is a good time to do it. I don't think Coach Calipari realized at the end of the season just how out Big Blue Nation was on him. Like, they have been out. Like, this, in the minds of some people, is, if not overdue, long overdue. Like, if you had done this a year or two ago, there's a wide swath of that fan base that would have been on board with it. I think what probably happened over the course of time is that the high-level donors, the NIL people, probably got to the AD and executives inside the athletic department and said, we're done with this guy. And even though he's sort of leaving on his own terms here, make no mistake about it, this is what they wanted to.
So who?
Who to replace him? I mean, number one on my list would be Jay Wright, obviously. Now, Jay Wright is very unlikely to leave CBS, I think, because it's a really cushy job, and he left college basketball because of what college basketball became. So it's not obvious to me that he would do that, but there are some really intriguing other people, like Billy Donovan.
Stop a second. I'll let you finish.
Sure.
Let's go back to Jay Wright.
Okay.
Did Jay Wright leave because of the direction the sport has gone, or did he leave because the direction the sport has gone was one in which you cannot win at Villanova? Meaning, would Jay Wright look at where the sport is and say, I can win at Kentucky, this way in a way I couldn't win in a place that otherwise had my heart. Jay's a great guy. He's not a good guy. He's a great guy. I've gotten to know him. And I think he would never have left Villanova except to go to the NBA if he had ever decided to do that, because he felt so connected to the school. And I think he walked away exactly. I think you're 1,000% right. He walked away. But the question is, did he walk away because he didn't think, he didn't like the direction the sport has gone, or he just decided you can't do this at a place like Villanova?
The answer is probably both. And there's no program in the country that is going to give you more resources than Kentucky.
That's what I'm saying.
He's got to at least take the interview. And you have to imagine he's number one on their list.
If his thinking was just, I'm done with the sport, then he's done.
Mm-hmm.
If the thinking was, I just can't win here, then, I mean, you don't know that Kentucky is
I mean, he was in the
available.
Final Four his last year, so it's not like he was, dipping at all. Yeah.
No, not, I mean, the opposite.
Yeah.
He's the best coach.
That's why I think it was more the sport than
tough
the school.
To say he can't win,
I think he just saw, no, but I think he saw the direction it was all
right.
going.
Sure.
And I think he realized they don't have the NIL. You want to try, if this is all going to become about how much money can you afford to pay these players, a place like Villanova is just not going to be able to compete with a place like Kentucky.
That's right.
Now, I guess maybe they have a billionaire alum who might just be willing to pick up all of the slack. But, I mean, Kentucky is the most historically significant college basketball program there is.
It's Alabama football.
It's
like
Alabama football. So I think that's what I meant. Not that he wasn't winning. He was. Nick Saban was winning. Nick Saban was in the Final Four this year. They caught the football version of the Final Four.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't leave because they were done. They left because they saw the writing on the wall. And they saw that everything is going to a place that I'm not interested, at least in Nick's case, that he's not interested in. So that's what I'm saying. Is Jay not interested in playing that game? Or was he just of the opinion you can't play it at Villanova?
And sometimes people just need a refresh, need a reset.
If that's the case, then he would be the obvious. Nothing has ever been more perfectly suited than Jay Wright in Kentucky.
A couple other quick names. I'm going to give you Nate Oates, the Alabama head coach.
Yeah, that comes up a lot.
And Billy Donovan, who's currently with the Bulls. What do you think about either of those guys?
I don't know. I mean, Billy Donovan obviously had great success at Florida. He had good success at Oklahoma City in the NBA. He's had no real success with the Bulls. I don't think any of that is his, I don't think that is his fault. He's a great coach. What I don't know, there used to be a time where I thought the college coach's lifestyle was way better than the pro coach's lifestyle. I don't know if that's still the case anymore with all of this NIL and all this recruiting and having a transfer portal and keeping guys from going and coming and this and that. I don't know which lifestyle is better.
And there's one more name that I got to say. Rick Pitino.
Well, it's going to come up.
It's
going to come up. How old is Rick now? Did I see a note? So there's a note. Rick Pitino was at Keeneland in Lexington, Kentucky this weekend. Can I assume that's a racetrack?
It is, yes. Okay, and he is 71.
71. Is that too old? If he had never left there, he'd still be there. And he would right now. Let me take a break, and I'm going to come back, and I'm going to tell you what I think he could have been if he had stayed there. Have you got trivia for us, too? Let's do that.
I've got trivia.
Let's go.
On this date 50 years ago, Henry Aaron passed Babe Ruth with a 715th home run. So what I'm doing is I'm looking at a list of the career home run leaderboard on that day, the day he did it. You're going to fill out for me the rest of the top five career home run leaderboard the day that Henry Aaron passed Babe Ruth 50 years ago
1974. Today. So you're saying the top five home run hitters
of all time,
Aaron.
Of all time on that date.
Meaning Aaron is at that point becomes one.
Mm-hmm.
So the rest
so
of the
we
four.
Need the other four.
And you know two.
Oh, I know all five.
Oh, we'll wait and see.
All right, we come back with the answer next on ESPN Radio.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Greeny, the podcast.
Greeny, presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who switch to Progressive could save big. Quote today at progressive.com. Oh, it's the solar eclipse. Big excitement. I couldn't be more excited. Just don't let it get dark while I'm putting. The only thing I'm concerned about. Anyway, today's the 50-year anniversary, to Hembo's point, of one of the truly historic moments in the history of sports. It sounded a little something like this.
Here's the pitch by Downing. Swinging. There's a drive into left center field. That ball is going to be out of here. It's gone. It's 7-15. There's a new home run champion of all time, and it's Henry Aaron. The fireworks are going. Henry Aaron is coming around third. His teammates are at home plate. And listen to this crowd.
It's Milo Hamilton's call of Hank Aaron breaking the unbreakable record held for so long by Babe Ruth with his 715th home run, which brings Hembo to today's question.
I'm looking at a list of the career home run leaderboard the day Henry Aaron broke that record. So you're going to fill out for me the rest of the top five.
Can I tell you the answer to this question makes me sad? And
why
I will
that?
Tell you why it makes me sad. Because not only do I think I can guess who they were, but I can tell you that Hank Aaron had hit 715 at that point, and Babe Ruth had hit 714, and Willie Mays had hit 660, and Ted Williams had hit 521. And these numbers were emblazoned in my mind. Now, I'm not sure that Ted Williams was top five. So before we get to the guesses, I'm just making that point. That throughout my lifetime, I knew those numbers as well as I knew anything. If you had asked me to do, like, you know, what's 8 times 8, I wouldn't have known that as quickly as I could have told you Ted Williams hit 521 career home runs, and Willie Mays, who may not have hit all of them by that point, wound up hitting 660. He certainly would be third on this list, no matter how many he had hit at that point. He may not have hit any more after he went to the Mets in 72. I don't know. The point I'm making is there was a time in life when I knew all of these, and now no one knows any of them. And part of that is a function of age, but a bigger part of it is the fact that all these numbers were rendered irrelevant by all these other guys breaking into the once proud 500 home run club through all of their ill-gotten ways.
If you stopped 100 baseball fans on the street and you asked them, how many did Barry Bonds hit? How many of them would correctly guess 762?
Yeah, very few.
Less than half, right?
Yeah. Oh, way less than half. What did you say, 100 baseball fans?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it would have to be real baseball fans. But my point is, some of the numbers that we're talking about were numbers that super casual fans would have known.
Oh, 100% agree.
That's the point I'm making. Now, that said, Bubba and Cam, and we've got Jack with us here, Pineapple Jack, because we have to go over something that happened with Pineapple Jack during the break, which also was horrific. But anyway, let's do the guessing here, guys. So we know 1, 2, and 3, right? There's no number one was Hank Aaron, number two was Babe Ruth, and number three was Willie Mays, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. Had Mays hit 660 by then?
Yeah, 660 exactly.
Yeah, hit them all.
Yep.
Okay. So the 500 home run club was a very, very, very select group of players. And at that point, Mike Schmidt wouldn't have been in it. And at that point, Reggie Jackson wouldn't have been in it. So are we forgetting anyone? The other names that would have been in it are Jimmy Fox, Mickey Mantle, Ted Williams, and Eddie Matthews. Is there anyone we're forgetting before we choose two of these? Either of you guys know?
I'm not thinking of them off the top of my head right now. Out of those, I would say Mantle I'm next most confident in, but we could be missing some.
Well,
but
they're all in the 500 home run club, for
yeah.
sure.
Those I'm saying names, I no think question. He his total, I think, is the highest, but I'm not
positive. What about one from before was Mel Ott, right?
Did Mel Ott hit 500
like,
home runs?
Yeah, that I think Mel's on the low end of 500.
Rich got the question right.
I think he's on the low end is what I would say, but...
So, again, the only one whose number I know in my head is Williams with 521. I think Mantle hit more than that. I think Mantle hit 530 something.
I think Mantle's next.
I do too. I think we're going to guess.
Let's lock in.
Are we doing it in order or just the top? Does it have to be in order or just the top five?
If you give me four or five, I'll give you a ding.
We're going to say Mickey Mantle.
That's wrong. Mickey Mantle is sixth with his 536 home runs, his career total.
So it's not Ted Williams either then?
Ted Williams is eighth.
Okay, so then is it Jimmy Fox?
Jimmy Fox is seventh.
Oh my
God.
By the way, Jimmy Fox died choking on a hot dog in his 40s.
Did you know that?
Did that actually happen?
Oh my God.
All right.
Oh my Get God. Off the set!
Jack,
Get so... off!
All right, Jack.
Oh!
Your idiocy.
Can we hear the rest of the answers?
Oh my God.
Sure. Frank Robinson?
Let's yes. try and finish it. It's Frank Robinson.
Frank Robinson's correct.
Okay, really
he at that point had 552. And number five is Harmon Killebrew.
Mm. Oh, damn it.
Killebrew, who ended up with 573 at this point, had 546.
Okay. So that's awful. We should have gotten that. I cannot believe that we forgot Harmon Killebrew. I'm embarrassed. We have brought shame upon my family. But not nearly as much shame as Jack Bartek has brought upon his. Pineapple Jack, the Bartek name, has never been so maligned as you have done. So I just wanted everyone to know what happened during a break. So Hembo is the kind of person who will say things like that. So we were kicking back and forth some ideas, and the name Jimmy Fox came up. And Hembo said,
you know that Jimmy Fox died choking on a hot dog in his 40s?
And Jack said,
is that real?
No, that isn't what you said.
You can't do anything right.
What's the matter with you? You
what did I say?
Did
that happen?
Actually.
Did that actually
you
happen?
You said, did he actually? To which I said, of course. Who would just say that? Who would just say Jimmy Fox died choking on a hot dog if he didn't actually? So let's reenact that. I'll give you an example. No one would say something that outrageous if it didn't actually happen. I'll give you an example. If I said, Jack, you know I had my testicles laminated, what would you say?
Did you actually?
And I would say, no, I didn't. I just thought it would be a fun thing to say. Doesn't that seem insane? No one would do that, right? So when someone says a very, very famous baseball player died choking on a hot dog, he did actually.
Well, I mean, both of those things, it seems more plausible that you're making it up as a joke than it's a thing that actually happened.
No,
it's
much
hard to imagine.
Who would make that up as a joke?
Who would choke on a hot dog?
Who would laminate their testicles?
Jimmy Fox choked on a hot dog.
And he died at the age of 59 in his own steakhouse. I'm telling you the truth, and Greeny's not. But your response and your inability to recreate it is most concerning.
Well, okay. And then we gave him two chances to recreate it, once organically, the other time I actually pitched it to him, and he got it wrong both times.
I've got a crazy wrinkle to this story.
Which is?
Apparently, Jimmy Fox's second wife, Dorothy, also died of choking. Not sure on what, but...
What?
Yeah. It ran in that family...
That's how it works.
Really?
Can that run in families?
Yeah.
Like, do their children have to be especially careful about dying of choking?
Do they actually?
Oh, my God. So, I mean, I'm just surrounded by a confederacy of dunces. It is a miracle that we get anything done around here.
We don't.
The point, Jack, is that no one in history has had their testicles laminated, and that's why if someone said it, you would not say, did they actually, because no one would even suggest it.
Yeah. Do you know many people that died choking on a hot dog?
I know two. Jimmy Fox and his second wife.
We don't know if she died choking on a hot dog. Well,
then
just
I know
choking
one.
On something.
And the second is pending. But there are lots of people who've died like choking on their own vomit, right? Like half the rock stars
it happens
in
every
history.
Day.
Yeah, I suppose.
Did they
I guess
actually?
The hot dog just adds an element that it makes it hard to believe.
Well, it's like the perfect size of a thing to choke on.
How many
like,
people
like
do
Mad
you think
Libs.
Die of choking in America every year?
A lot.
I mean,
thousands.
Probably thousands.
Yeah.
All right, we need to regroup. We'll be back.
4,000 to 5,000.
Thanks for listening to Greeny the podcast. You can listen live each weekday morning at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Or watch the show through the Watch tab on the ESPN app. Also catch Greeny on Get Up, weekday mornings at 8 on ESPN. And also available wherever you get your podcasts.